Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
But they never threatened to put George Wallace in jail. Why is it that Donald Trump goes along and says, Donald Trump, when asked about it, he said, I think it's a good idea. They should put him in jail if he does. So you have a president of the United States threatening to jail a governor in the United States because the governor is not following his political order.
Hey, Jamal, have you been watching this story about L.A. riots? It's not the L.A. riots that I remember growing up, right? That was Rodney King. Police brutality on a black man on camera sent people outraged. That's what I remember being referred to as L.A. riots. This current moment doesn't quite seem to rise to that occasion.
Yeah, I wouldn't put this in the riot category yet. I mean, we look at all of the footage about what's happening. You talk to people who have been out in the California on the site in California. I was at CNN yesterday, and some of the reporters were talking about what it was really like. And we're really talking about a few blocks of disarray, right? Of things happening. There's mostly peaceful protesting happening out there. A lot of people who are just upset with the ICE raids and want it to stop. And a few people, like what happens at night in many of these cases, who are doing things that have to stop. They're burning things or throwing projectiles at police officers and other people. So there are things that have to stop here. But you know what the most important part of this whole story is? The local police, the California Highway Patrol, LAPD, they seem like they're pretty on top of it. You know, things aren't getting out of control. But then you add National Guard troops, then people see, oh, the military's there, and everybody goes up. And then you tell them, we're going to put 700 U.S. Marines on deck to be able to, you know, stop this. And that's what amps people up. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. Why do we have active duty military troops coming to a U.S. city because people are speaking up and protesting?
Well, here's why. This is why the Trump administration is federalizing the National Guard against a governor's interest, and why it's escalating the situation, because it is setting a footprint for what can happen in the future. It ties into that right-wing narrative of cities on fire, cities out of control, right? There are people who only listen to Fox News who legitimately thought Portland had been burned down to the ground a few years back.
Right.
Like you said, if you're in LA, you understand what's going on. If you are a California resident, you understand that the police and local forces are doing crowd control. But when you bring in the militarization of it, you're not only declaring this to be a national security threat, but you're pushing the envelope of what the president and the federal government can do anytime that they feel like there is a protest they don't agree with. And so it's the subject matter, the fact that these are anti-ICE, anti-Trump immigration policy protests, and then they're throwing more oil on the fire, right? It only escalates. This is not a de-escalation agenda by the Trump administration.
So let's compare this to what happened before. All right. So the last time this happened was in the civil rights movement during the 1960s. And there are two big cases that everybody points to. The first one is 1963, when John F. Kennedy federalized the National Guard, sent them to the University of Alabama, when George Wallace, who was then the governor of Alabama, famously said he would stand in the schoolhouse door to prevent Vivian Malone and James Wood from entering. Vivian Malone, who, by the way, is Sharon Malone's sister, who was the wife of Eric Holder, who was the Obama-era attorney general. So he's going to stand in the doorway to stop Vivian Malone and James Wood from being able to integrate the University of Alabama, and JFK sent troops to make sure they were able to follow the federal order. The second time was in 1965, when Selma happened, the Selma March happened, and what happened there was you had local police who were on sides with the counter-protesters who were assaulting protesters who were trying to just exercise their rights. And so Lyndon Johnson in 1965 federalized National Guard to protect the protesters, right? Protect the protesters who were following their constitutional ability. Now what we have is the president of the United States who says, no, this is not about protecting the protesters. We're on the side of stopping people exercising their First Amendment rights. We're going to send the federal government down there to stop it. Now, last point here is then the Homeland Security Secretary, Tom Homan, who's the guy who's in charge of all the anti-immigration stuff, says that he would put Gavin Newsom in jail, the governor of California, if he tries to stand in the way. You know what? Lyndon Johnson never did. You know what? John F. Kennedy never did. They never threatened to put George Wallace in jail, the governor of Alabama. They never threatened to put him in jail because he was against federal orders. Of course, the federal government went down there to prosecute it, to go take care, not prosecute it, but to go get the orders complied with. But they never threatened to put George Wallace in jail.
Why and George Wallace
Trump goes along and says, Donald Trump, when asked about it, he said, I think it's a good idea. They should put him in jail if he has. So you got a president of the United States threatening to jail a governor in the United States because the governor is not following his political orders.
And that's the key thing. Gavin Newsom's not following Trump's political orders. He is following the law. Right. So he's being threatened by the sitting president to be put in jail, whereas George Wallace and these others from the white supremacist movement in the South were breaking the law. They were going against federal law. And the troops were sent in to, again, protect people's rights, not to undermine them. Add on to this, right? So this whole inflaming of issues in LA, the targeting of a Democratic governor who may or may not be a future presidential candidate, all heading into a weekend in which there's going to be a massive military parade in honor of the president's birthday and the army's birthday. This entire week is messages from the White House of militarization on domestic soil. Our U.S. military is supposed to be serving overseas, protecting our national security and threats overseas. They're mixing what domestic police do and community police do with what the national army is supposed to do. And that's this next week is going to be, I think, for those who study the separation of constitutional powers, for those of us who are concerned about military overreach or police overreach, this is going to be a very scary week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's gonna be a very scary week because, as you said, we're looking at police powers on U.S. soil. We have a thing called posse comitatus, which for those of us who don't speak Latin, is basically the law, the rule in the Constitution to keep the U.S. military from operating on domestic soil, right? So you don't want the military going after American troops. Here's the thing. The U.S. Marines, whether they train in San Diego or in Paris Island in South Carolina, are a lethal force. You drop them into countries when you need to go and kill people, or as my young relative said, you want to go blow shit up, right? He wanted to join the Marines so he could blow shit up, right? And so that's what the Marines specialize in. You drop them in first, they secure the ground, they hold the ground, the Army comes in afterwards. Like, the Marines are the most lethal force. Why would you send them in a place to go where
with
Americans
civilians.
Are just
American
trying to
speak
civilians.
Up?
Civilians.
Yeah.
They're not attacking the U.S. Congress, right? They're not attacking police officers and U.S. Capitol Police to stop the conducting of the government exercise to transfer power. It's not like they're doing that.
Let's not forget, Jamal, the National Guard came in after that attack happened. That's when they secured the site. There was a whole period of time in which the Virginia National Guard was going to get to the Capitol before the DC National Guard because the Trump administration didn't want to activate them. Right. So it's very which protests get allowed and which ones get suppressed. It's a very clear message from the Trump administration, right? That it is anything that is about immigration, that is probably about worker and labor rights too. I bet that's next, right? That they would be using this type of excessive force against labor rallies or any labor strikes, right? It is very much the anything that you do that is against the explicit interest of this administration is going to be met with state violence. Again, not an accident that they're using LA and what LA stands for, right? Hollywood elites, liberal messages, even though LA is a very diverse community, it's that story that then can be told on Fox News about Trump being very strong against these forces and stopping them, stopping these bad people, who some of whom happen to be migrants, stopping these bad people from burning down the city. That's the very straight right-wing message. The challenge is that LA is also a port, a major transit point for trade. The ports are already drying up from Seattle to LA to Louisiana. Goods aren't coming in because of the tariffs. Right. So you have these negotiations, these messages going out about cutting back on globalization and goods that come into the U.S. So at the same time as we're being told that the biggest priority is quelling protests, we're also not getting any of the benefits of our trade agreements or the relationships we have with other countries. Prices are going higher, right? So it's creating the crisis that then an authoritarian regime would have to respond to with very strict state violence.
Yeah. So you just mentioned the ports. What's happening is that uncertainty that's happening in the business community is having an impact on what they're buying, right? Mm-hmm. And there's lots of evidence now that a lot of companies pre-bought a lot of things. They bought as many things as they could before they thought the tariffs were going to go into effect. So what may be happening now is they won't be purchasing things going forward. So you're going to see those ports dry up even more in terms of the goods that are coming mm-hmm. in. We are seeing employment start to slow down. We are hearing stories about people who are having their job offers rescinded because people aren't sure if they should be spending the money right now. We know even in domestic consumption, people are starting to hold on to their money because they don't know what the economy is going to look like and everybody gets nervous. So the recipe is all there. You're hearing big bankers who are talking about prepare for what may be happening in a recession. People talking about what's going to happen to U.S. bonds because we count on other countries to buy so much of our bonds. So everybody's very nervous in the economy about what's going to happen. And then, as you mentioned a minute ago, we've got a military parade that's going to come down the streets of Washington, D.C., probably cost $45 million to bring tanks from all over the country and military from all over the country and rip up the roads of Washington, D.C. For Donald Trump
to
basically have a masturbatory experience. Excuse me.
That's the most immediate reaction, but the longer term implication is combined with everything, all the choices being made. We are seeing an increasingly militarized police state and the treatment of people living in the U.S. in that security capacity. Ironically, this is exactly what the MAGA movement was against, right? Government overreach, keep government out of my out of all of my interests. And, we need to have weapons at our homes in case the government comes for us, right? Like that. We've heard that narrative right.
Waco, Texas was a thing 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one out in, somewhere in the upper Midwest, all these cases mm-hmm. where people are worried about, like you said, the government coming yeah. to get
and
our
now,
guns,
add on
the government
to that.
Coming to take
add
our
on to that. And this is actually, I think, part of the challenge the MAGA movement is facing right now is realizing that Trump administration has given access to Palantir, which is a massive security data firm, and given them access to Americans' social security numbers and our personal government information. If you take what Google has on you and all the data points about your behavior, and now you match that up with our social security and all the other information the government has about us, our addresses, that is a very, very potent mapping of information. They are saying they're going to use that just for migrants and to get after, undocumented people. Why do you need the rest of our info? I mean, this is a gold mine and it's being handed over by the government to a private company. They're going to make millions off of us. Yeah. And it's literally a company that gets hired by other governments and by the United States for security and military purposes.
And just every major corporation in the world that's trying to figure out how to, market something to you is also tapping into that. And so, in China, they have, your social score. And so in China, they map everything you do online. They map it with your government data, who you are, where you go to school. They look around at all your friends who live nearby you, right? Because everybody's got a phone that's geotagging them at all the moments. So they can tell who you're messaging, all the things that are happening. And then they establish a social score. And so in that social score, if you're high enough or low enough, then you can determine whether or not you get a job, whether or not you get to live in a certain apartment building, whether or not the government will approve any number of things for you to be able to do. And if you're speaking out against the government, that is a way for the government to stop you from being able to participate in general, you know, everyday life. We're not that far away from that. It's not, this is all not that far away from that. When you can map everything that everyone is doing online to everything that they're doing in the government, to everything that you're speaking up on social media, what to stop people from, you know, choosing to decide, hey, you know what, Nayara, you don't get to come here anymore.
I think that those who are willing to go along with it truly don't, have not experienced anybody mistaking them for doing something wrong by accident, or really think it's never going to come back to bite them, as opposed to this is going to impact everybody. This is a fundamental changing of the social contract that we have as Americans with our government. That I pay taxes, you give me services. And now it is you exist in America and you have to obey and listen to not a set of agreed upon laws that have been legislated and, you know, discussed, but you listen to this very small group of people and how they tell you have to live your life. That if you do that, things will go easy for you, right? That is what is now shifting. And that includes oligarchs. It includes, there are 13 billionaires in the cabinet right now, 13 billionaires in the U.S. cabinet. So it seems very straightforward to me that there are people in power who want more power and want to fundamentally change the nature of how our country works, even though part of how they became billionaires is because the country worked and helped support them. I guess they just don't want it working that way for everybody else.
Yeah. You have to excuse me. For those of you watching the video, I had to find my charger because my phone and my computer was about to die. And that would be a horrible way to conduct a
podcast. Yes, because we're not done with therapy yet for today.
Yeah, exactly. So listen, I think that all this is, it's dark if you want to let it go that way. The question is how much we can do to stop it. And we've got to figure out as a country, at what point did we say to this government, whether you voted for them or not, I don't know that anybody voted to have themselves thrown into the giant matrix and tracked
not themselves. In every possible way. Other people, yes, not themselves. That's a disconnect.
Right. But like like you said, the thing is, once you have it, you're not going to stop it. Smoke them if you got them. People are going to keep on coming. And that is the problem for the entire country. When this gets started, it's almost impossible to get it off the track because you add in a little AI to it, everything is going to be knowable about you.
Ironically, some of what escalated all of this with these LA protests is that ICE has not been able to deport as many people as they had been deporting during the Biden administration. And so Stephen Miller brought a bunch of ICE managers to the White House and told them, just take anybody, like anybody who is not a U.S. citizen or a permanent resident. Get them, like strip them of their legal status, as they are doing with these Afghans who helped U.S. soldiers and are here legal status. A guy in Houston got arrested. They took away his legal status and are now looking to deport him. This is where we're at. And it's all because of making numbers and wanting to compete with Biden. That's right. Like the level of pettiness that ends up driving these policies. It's, you know, we saw some of that with when Elon Musk was at Doge too. It's just the personal pettiness ends up overriding any of the safeguards that we had in the system.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I mean, you know what it also is? The cultural war that the Trump administration is willing to foster in order to hide the economic thievery, right, that is taking place, allegedly, but taking place on their behalf, right? Like going around the world you know, oh, we're going to, if you have a certain amount of money, you can buy a visa and come to the United States and we'll let you immigrate. The president, you want to get the president a $400 million, you know, $400 million airplane, we'll take it. And then we'll, you know, figure out what we can do to repay that generosity to you later. You want to buy the president's crypto? Why don't you come here? And then we'll let you come to the White House and get a tour and give you personal, you know, dinner with the president of the United States. Well, you know, or, you know, we give us $1 million and we'll pardon your son from whatever crime it is he's committed. So as we all are focused on this, and not just we all, but like the people of America who they are exploiting, their cultural anxiety, right, about what's happening to the country demographically or their own economic insecurity, as they exploit that, they're also exploiting their government jobs for raw rank benefit. And I think that is the part of the story.
Corruption.
We'll be told later. The corruption. Yeah.
It's blatant corruption. The kind of corruption that we use to censor other countries for. But that's what this is. And it is corruption, the definition of the corruption being using a public good for personal benefit. That's it. Right? None of these individuals, it used to be that when you were brought into any of these positions, you would have to divest from all of your other money-making operations. And it did weed out a whole bunch of people like, well, no, I'm not willing to give up making money. I've been making great money. I don't want to give that up to do public service. And there's people, many people who did that in previous years, Republican and Democratic administrations, for the honor of this high-level public service.
I wasn't making a lot of money. I mean, I wasn't making like millions of dollars, but like just my few thousand dollars of stocks, you know.
I had to declare everything.
Sell your individual stocks, even though the stocks may be, whatever the prices may not be the right point for you to sell it. You got to get rid of it.
You know, they come in
and they tell you if you want a job, you can't.
You can't have this. Yeah, you can't have anything that would compromise your judgment or make it that you were making decisions based on for organizations based on your own private benefit. None of these folks had to divest anything. They didn't even really declare what their finances were. Right. So
Donald Trump, the president of the United States, who is supposedly worth billions of dollars. He's certainly worth billions of dollars now because he's using his office to get money. But the president of the United States, who normally would have to take all of his holdings, put it in a blind trust so that everybody would be assured the Oval Office was not operating in its own benefit, but operating on the benefit of the country, didn't do that. He put it in a trust that's controlled by his children, and it's not blind. He knows exactly what they're doing. He knows exactly what they're doing. And we haven't even talked about Eric and you know, the Trump boys going around the world and trying to open Trump hotels and Trump properties. Every place that the U.S. government is trying to do deals, they come in right behind them and try to get a little private deal, a little something-something for the Trump family along the way.
No, because they're right. This is their livelihood. This is their long-term game. It's not about taking care of the country for 3 to 4 years. It's that's what they're doing. And it reminds me that so much of our system was built on trust. And when you find these gaps, they're driving trains and trucks through these gaps right now to widen them. But it is kind of like the, okay, this was just ethics, right? So who's going to make me? It's not against the law.
Who's going to make
you? These were ethics. Make me.
Right.
Same thing going on with the Supreme Court.
And norms, right. Customs and norms and suggestions. And, you know, maybe if we do this, there'll be, you know, you'll get a sanction. We'll wrap you get a very tough letter. You know,
no one's going to stop you from taking,
maybe there'll be a bad story in the Washington Post. Yeah.
Yeah. You might be embarrassed.
Care about being
but if you have no shame, exactly. If you have no shame, if you have no shame and you're really not worried about outside ethical considerations, you're like, I got my own compass. I'm good. Look at what you can get away with. And that's what's been exposed in our system. Because the Supreme Court ultimately can make decisions and, okay, what's going to happen? Like even the federal court that said, do not let these planes fly. They're like, oops, the planes already flew. Sorry. Right?
Yeah.
Who's going to make these things operate in the way that we intended for them to operate? It's all based on goodwill and trust. And yes, the founders did not anticipate somebody being elected through this process who blatantly did not care about the process or the system. They didn't anticipate that.
Well, yes. And so maybe they had hoped or built for that not to happen. But what they really built into the system after that was these supposedly these checks and balances of having a court system, two houses of Congress that had all their independent power, and that everybody's own self-interest would keep them interested in maintaining their own power. That the House would want to have its power to do what it wanted to do, to exert its influence. The Senate would have power. The courts would have power. I think what they really didn't bank on is all of those institutions being under the sway of this charismatic, you know, election figure, you know, this authoritarian, and then none of them pursuing their own individual bases of power anymore, just to follow this guy because he's so popularly effective in terms of targeting people.
It's a bunch of folks who had understood things in a very intellectual way about how the system works and what the power works, and suddenly had to confront somebody who was very physical, a bully who would yell at you on the phone, and they're like, oh, we actually don't know how to deal with these very real human emotions in this context. And yeah, almost every single one of them, at least in the Republican Party, folded in the face of that. Right. It's the logic and logical responses are there. The systemic responses are there. They just emotionally didn't have the guts to do it.
Well, and they are all scared about their own hides, right? You have all these people who are worried about being primaried in their own districts around the country. You know, they're worried about their personal politics. Maybe they've got some concern about a bridge being built or something happening, and Trump threatens that. And so they decide, like, oh, well, we can't do that because, you know, this may affect whatever. And so meanwhile, what we have happening is we have the erosion of rights in the universities because the government is trying to exert control over who can teach and what they can teach in universities. We have the government cutting deals and going after the media because these big corporate conglomerates are interested in their own financial futures as well as they are anything else. The government going after law firms, and we have a right to be legally represented in the Constitution. You have a right to be legally represented. But the government is saying, if the law firms represent you and we don't like who you represent, then we're going to shut down the law firm's ability to do business with the federal government, which will then cripple the law firm and maybe put it out of business. So all these institutions that are supposed to be built to allow us to have some level of freedom are all being systemically, one by one, attacked.
And the people within those institutions have to stand up, right? We've seen folks who have and folks who haven't. We have plenty of cases. But at the end of the day, we know from history that appeasement doesn't work. There are plenty, you know, examples from World War I and World War II. It doesn't work. And we also know that if you don't stand up to a bully, the person will keep bullying you. There's a geopolitical version of this, and there's also just the very real playground version of this that we need to remember.
Absolutely.
That this is how
you're coaching I'm coaching a seven-year-old now about how to manage a bad second grader who won't leave him alone.
And yes, use your words at first. Don't throw the first punch. I get that. But you also have to know how to stand up and defend yourself. So let's leave it at that. That's a positive note. Learn how to stand up and defend for yourself.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.